Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 as we look back at the major talking points from the 2021 IPL auction. I'm Neil Manthorpe. Over the next hour or so, I'll be joined by former England fast bowler Steve Harmison to dissect the big stories and maybe even some of the little ones to come out of the auction. We'll discuss Chris Morris becoming the most expensive overseas signing in history. We'll look at a mixed bag for the England players and we'll ask why Alex Hales, Jason Roy and Adil Rashid didn't get picked up. As well as this, we're also joined by Rajasthan Royals Director of Cricket, Kumar Sangakkara, and the Chennai Super Kings Assistant Coach, Eric Simons, to talk about Moeen Ali. You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 as part of the Following On podcast. Well, Harmy, take your pick from any of those subjects or any of your own. What was your overall impression? It's called a mini auction, but there were some quite big stories coming out of it. Next year is the really big auction that takes place every 3 years. What did you make of this one?
Yeah, it's interesting, Manners. It's one of them ones where you probably actually as a player you want to get in this one, don't you? Because teams are vying for a specific slot, and if your skill set is in this specific slot, all of a sudden your money goes up like through the roof. And then, you know, the biggest highlight, the one that stands out the most, is Rajasthan probably wants somebody in that middle order to potentially get Stokes and Butler open the batting and somebody to bowl at the death with Jofra Archer. So Chris Morris ticked all them boxes. So because of that, there was probably some calculated bids from other franchises to get that up, to take to make sure Rajasthan paid, you know, the big bucks for them. And they certainly did, nearly, what was it, £1.6 million for that. So that stood out big time. I'd expected a couple of the opening batsmen to be picked up. I thought Roy Hales, you're looking at somebody like Labuschagne, no Aaron Finch, no Lewis from the West Indies. So, you know, teams must be happy with their top order, or they're happy with Indian players in their top order. So, look, it was an interesting little mini auction. And I think if you're a fast bowler or an all-rounder, from an overseas point of view, this is the auction to be in, because there were some big numbers for the likes of Richardson and Jameson from Australia and New Zealand, respectively. And an all-rounder in Dan Christian went for a few quid as well. So I'm pleased for Moeen Ali. He's gone to the what is Dad's Army. He's probably one of the youngest there at 33. So, yeah, good on him and Sam Billings and Tom Curran for getting picked up. So all in all, I think it's a good auction for the majority of the England players that went in it.
It's a question I'll ask Kumar Sangakkara a little later. But it must be quite hard for some players, some of the really big-name players, not to take it personally if they don't get picked up in the auction. I mean, I'm not suggesting that Adil Rashid would take it personally, but, I mean, he is still one of the premier white ball bowlers. His all-round skill sets, you know, still as good as anybody in the world in the spin bowling department. And yet, you know, he was in the auction, and people were expecting him to get picked up. The truth is, it's not personal. It might be, I suppose, in one or two cases if there's a player with a reputation that makes the franchises wary. But you know, there are lots of good leg spinners, Indian leg spinners, and there are only so many places for overseas players. And much as you might think, and what I mean, he is one of the best white ball bowlers in the world. So why isn't he in the IPL? But there are reasons other than performance.
Yeah, I think there is, and I think when you mentioned there, you touched on it there. I think what we probably look at it from an outside point of view, from England or from South Africa or wherever, we probably don't understand what the level of skill sets in the young Indian players, i.e. the spin bowling department, probably the opening batting department, that they feel as though they need pace. You know, overseas, we need pace. We need all-rounders and we need pace. But actually, from somebody who knows Adil well and played a bit of cricket with Adil Rashid, the problem slot I find and is fitting in is that number seven spot, where you've got an all-rounder who bats and bowls and just balances the side up. And I actually think Adil Rashid's not a bad little batsman, especially in Asian conditions. I think the kid can play, and I think he would fit in to that run-around, all-rounder slot in the middle. He can hit it out the ground. We've seen that from England's point of view. Yes, he's getting a bit older, but with the bowling as well as his main skill, then I thought he would be an absolute shoo-in for somebody. But we're probably going to find out, because we're going to listen to people who are in the know more than what we are, even though I watched, you know, and worked on the majority of the IPL last year, that teams are looking for specifics, and they're trying to find that in this second auction, one or two little gems which are going to just completely change the dynamics of their team. And I think that's why you've seen the big money go on the two all-rounders in Morrison, Moeen Ali, and the quick bowlers, because teams need some extra pace. We've seen that last year. Probably the team I picked right at the very start, I thought were going to do well, and they did, was Delhi Capitals. And we've seen what Nokia and Rabada did. So from that point of view, I think teams have looked at that and thought, well, we might need a little bit more injection of pace. And I think that's where the money's gone in this auction.
The next question I've got on my list is about David Malan, but I'm going off script here because I have a burning desire suddenly to ask you whether you would have been IPL material at your peak, and how much you would have gone for, and whether you would have fancied it.
I'd have fancied it. Definitely would have fancied it. I think so. I think for maybe a year or two, I think possibly. In that, when I see the likes of, you know, the way Jameson's gone for the money he's gone, and Richardson, you see the Pat Cummins's, the pace that they've got. Like Ulrich Nokia. Yeah, you've seen Ulrich Nokia develop. Man, he's not somebody who has got a whole array of slower balls. He's not somebody who has got a whole array of anything, but just runs up and bowls and hits the deck hard and bowls quick.
Top of off, Army.
As Hoggard would say, the stumps don't move. The ball's red and it's round, it's white and it's round, and it doesn't move. You know what I mean? Just hit the top of off. Good players will get out. So I'd like to think I would. I'd like to think I'd develop and be better for that. And that's this whole argument that we'll probably have during the next test match and the fourth test match, when they talk about rotation policies and everything that goes with it. You know, the big elephant in the room, shall we say, from an England selection point of view, is this IPL. But I don't begrudge people going. Do I not? I think it's great for them. And two, I think it's important for the players to just have a change of scenery, play at the similar level as what international cricket is, because it makes them cricketers better. It's up to the administrators and the management to be strong enough to put the whole thing together.
Right, David Malan then. The world's number one ranked T20 batsman finally cracks the IPL.
Yeah, he did, and it's brilliant. And when you look at it, when we talked about people going for specifics, you know, Milan's gone for about £150,000 or £200,000. Steve Smith's gone for about £200,000. And you look at Chris Morris has gone for £1.6 million. So when you work the theories like that out, you just think, well, how does this game work? But I'm pleased for Milan. It shows from an England point of view now we've got good player, all our good players, our best players in the IPL. And there was, I watched the auction, I wasn't sure if he was going to get picked. He got picked right at the last minute. I think the hammer was going to go down unsold, and then he managed to get selected by the Punjab Kings. So good for him. I'm really, really pleased for him. Caps off a fantastic 12-18 months for the Middlesex or the Yorkshire batsman now. And he deserves for the hard work he's put in.
I love the small stories. With, you know, the big stories are obvious. They're all back page leads. And yeah, Chris Morris goes for £1.6 million. And, you know, we see all those big headlines. There are two stories, both concerning the Mumbai Indians, that are fascinating as well. There's Arjun Tendulkar. No pressure there, Arjun. Sachin's son has been signed by the Mumbai Indians. So there's that. But there's also, what do you know about Marco Janssen?
Not a lot, to be fair, Manners. Not a lot. He's been picked up. Is it a token gesture on them both, Manners? Is it token?
I don't know. I know about Marco Janssen. I can tell you about him. I don't know much about Arjun Tendulkar and whether he's been signed as a marketing. I mean, I know he's a useful cricketer, but you know, he is also Sachin Tendulkar's son. So I honestly don't know.
There's been a couple though, haven't there? There's been a couple that have been from the emerging nations squads who have gotten an IPL go and not had a game, but the experience has been very, very good for them. So, you know, fingers crossed, it's not a marketing tool. Fingers crossed it is. They are going to potentially get a game. But when you look at the likes of who Mumbai Indians have got, they can do that marketing tool because, you know, they've been the most successful side in the last 6 years with De Kock, Pollard, Bolt, Coulter Nile. They've signed Neesham, which I think is a very, very good sign. And Adam Milne have signed as well. So I think they have got a spare spot for somebody who to give experience to.
So let me just tell you about Marco Janssen very quickly. 3 years ago, India were touring South Africa, and a 17-year-old left-arm quick called Marco Janssen bowled as a net bowler to the Indian team. And Virat Kohli, not for the first time in his career, remembered that he was impressed with this 17-year-old kid who can also bat. I mean, he's got genuine all-round pretensions. But I don't know whether Virat Kohli followed his progress, but Marco Janssen grew into becoming a South African under-19 cricketer, then a first-class cricketer, and then now at the age of... He's only 20, left-arm quick, bats really well, popped his name into the auction, and Virat Kohli, I understand, is... I remember him. I remember that kid. So now, I mean, he's going to be a reserve player, sure, but he might get the opportunity to impress. It's so often in cricket and in life, I suppose, it's about being in the right place at the right time and having a bit of luck. And if you get really lucky, then you become the subject of a bidding war between two or even three franchises, and that's when your price goes through the roof.
Absolutely, and it's good for, like I said, it's good for, you know, players who aren't the household names. I mentioned before there was a couple of emerging nations guys in the last few years. I think Odana from
Odana, yes.
he played for RCB, I think, last year. Didn't get picked up in this auction, but there are players who have come under the radar and done very well and some great stories. And can you imagine that, you know, young Tendulkar does play. Can you imagine Sachin saying, I want to watch my son play cricket in a biosecure bubble? That's going to be a brave security guard to turn Sachin away from the front door, isn't it? So it's like we said, there's been loads of good stories from this IPL, and loads of life-changing things for young Indian cricketers, and fingers crossed we've possibly just had a life-changing moment for a young South African player who can put his name not only in lights in the IPL but then force his way into the South African side.
Interestingly, it's Mitchell McClenaghan let go by the Mumbai Indians, left-armed quick, and Marco Janssen is the left-arm quick who replaces him. So it's a brutal and cutthroat world. Anyway, you're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 as part of the Following On podcast. Still to come, we'll be joined by Rajasthan Royals Director of Cricket, Kumar Sangakkara. But next, we'll speak live with the Chennai Super Kings coach, Eric Simons.
Down he comes. Lovely strike by Moeen Ali. A free-flowing six over wide long on. Down comes Moeen Ali and it just nails it into the crowd.
This is absolutely breathtaking. I mean, Moeen Ali.
Four, just in there. Now Moeen Ali sweeps him over mid-wicket for six. This is astonishing stroke play.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 as part of the Following On podcast and our review of the 2021 IPL auction. It's been a busy week for England all-rounder Moeen Ali. After leaving the biosecure bubble in India to have his period of rest after the second test match, he was then picked up for just under £700,000 by the Chennai Super Kings. Joining us now for more on this and how CSK are setting up for the new season is the Chennai Super Kings assistant coach, Eric Simons. First of all, did anything surprise you? Obviously, I want to talk to you about Moeen Ali being signed by you. But what was your overall impression of the mini auction?
Probably typical mini auction because a lot of chaps benefit from them because there's small groups of players to choose from. Most teams are looking at a very specific target, and those that are released are not the same, obviously, with a big auction when funds are spread around. So some people have walked away with some big numbers, which great for them, I suppose, have raised some eyebrows.
And moving on to Moeen Ali, I don't know whether you obviously wanted an all-rounder. I don't know whether he was your first pick, but at 33, he might be a bit young for Chennai Super Kings.
Yeah, we have been accused in the past of being the dad's army, if you like. But I think that happened in, you know, 2-3 years ago, and I think people then realised that the way we go about the game, the way we play it, that our thinking, you know, we don't think it's always an old man's game. A young man's game. You know, I think we've shown time and time again that experience counts for a lot, and it's one of the hallmarks of the way that CSK have gone about putting their teams together. About guys being able to control their particular domain of and their role in the team. And someone like Moeen is exactly one of those people. He knows his game well. He's a good cricketer, but he's also, anyone you speak to or talk to you about the person Moeen Ali is. The informal leader and the good cricket brain, and that's part of CSK's mantra.
Eric, you mentioned about the specifics that teams were going for. Are you surprised about the specialist opening batsmen, especially overseas, that weren't picked up? Because there's a lot of big names haven't been picked up from the opening batsmen. Hales and Roy from England point of view, but the likes of the top order batsmen, Van der Dussen, Labuschagne, comes to mind. There's some big names not gone unsold.
It was a bit surprising amongst one or two of them along the way, but I think the game, the auctions have changed a lot. I think in the past, a name would come up and the name would be bought. I think now it's very much specific to what do we need, what do we see in this particular cricketer, and recognising that success in some conditions, in some teams, in some situations don't initially translate to success in the IPL. So I think teams have become a little more strategic around what they wanted from specific players. So when one looks at it from an outside, it is a bit surprising. But when you're in the, you know, at the cold face of it, you perhaps understand why the decisions were made the way they are.
One very, very bright star for you in what was a disappointing last season of the IPL was Sam Curran. He opened the bowling. You had him opening the batting. You had him coming in as a pinch hitter. He was doing everything. Does a floating role like that actually, can it work? I mean, are you going to keep your options open with him, or are you going to try and identify a specific role for him?
There are very few players, I think, that really can. I think the game has become more specific in the short answer, where players tend to have a role. But there are a few that have got the unique talent and ability to float around like that, and Sam is one of them, I think. I watched Sam from a distance. I didn't know him that well, but I think that what impressed everybody within the CSK, and again, anybody that would have dealt with him, is the character of the guy and what he's about. He's an incredible fighter. I loved working him from a bowling perspective. I loved the fact that he had an opinion on his game. He had an opinion on his game, on the game itself, tactically. And you can see he's a thinker, and I think it's one of the reasons why he is so versatile. So I think we'd like to settle down. To be honest, some of the decisions around his movement was because we were having problems in areas. And we wanted to maybe get a quicker start or do something a bit differently rather than because we weren't sure with his role. We were pretty much sure what he wanted to do, but we were trying to fill gaps that were occurring. But I think it's testament to who he is, a cricketer. He's not his tactical awareness and nuance and understanding of the game that made him so versatile. But to me, what stood out for me was the character who he is, and I think that's been a hallmark of his career.
Interesting, Zarek, you signed Pujara, and you know, we're talking about Pujara and talking about CSK having an older team. But are there specific roles for somebody like Pujara, because he's perceived to be somebody that bats for a long time? But actually, if you take him back, the first test match, his scoring rate was high. This guy's got a great cricket brain and great cricket knowledge. Is there a role for him in 2020 cricket?
I definitely believe there's a role for them. I think one of the most important things for batsmen in particular that plays the way he does is to understand his role and understand that his game plan and stick to it. There are a number of ways of skinning the cat. And also what's important is to sometimes see the strike rate of a partnership and not just an individual. So, you know, I was with Delhi and we had David Warner and Virendra Sehwag as our opening partnership. And that you'd think would be the ideal T20 partnership to open innings, and they weren't successful together. But you put them with somebody else that complements them in a different way, and it sometimes works. So I do think there's a role for cricketers like Pujara. I think he is, again, a very, very shrewd, got a very shrewd head on his shoulders. And there are a number of ways of skinning the cat. Sometimes you look at strike rates, and you know, someone like a Chris Gayle who's hitting the ball out the ground all the time, You see an obvious strike rate, but you look across to the other side, there's somebody who's nudged the ball around, got the odd boundary, and his strike rate is not very different. So it's very important for cricketers to understand their game and to stay true to themselves and find their way of achieving what needs to be achieved. And I think he's one of those cricketers.
Eric, on a bigger picture level, Chennai seem to be one of those franchises that got the worst of the bubble in the last IPL season. I just wonder what you learnt from that experience and what differences. I mean, how much do you know about the bubble? Because obviously that was in the UAE, and you're now going to play the next edition in India. Are you personally intimidated, not intimidated, but do you sort of is there a sense of dread about spending another 11 weeks in a bubble?
I think there was a more dread going into the first one, not knowing what to expect. We got the worst of it because we ended up having some positive tests, and that put us an extra week in the bubble, if you like. So instead of 7 days, we were there for 14. But I think now that you know what to expect, I think you go in with a far greater understanding of what you need to do, things you need to take in with you, connections you need to keep making, conversations on things like Zoom. And then also just the interaction with players amongst themselves. We did find there were times we'd get a practice and there was a certain lethargy about the guys that we needed to get out before the practice really hit its straps. So those kind of things are your learning, you take away from the previous bubble. So we do go in a lot more prepared as to what to achieve and what to do. So it's not a great thing to do, but we'd rather do it and play cricket than not have it at all. But I think we will be more prepared this time as individuals and as a team.
And Eric, every time somebody new signs for CSK, the name is mentioned every time, and that's MS Dhoni. What's the big fella got left in him? Has he got another 2 or 3 years left in IPL cricket in him? And you know, the great leaders or great players always bounce back from what was a difficult year for CSK last year. What's the great man got up his sleeve for this year?
Well, you'd be a brave man not to vote against him. You know, he's one of those characters that he's a very proud man. He understands his game very, very well. And I think that I'm excited to see what he comes in with. I think last year was the first year that he didn't have as much competitive cricket leading into the tournament as he has in the past. And that's one of the challenges that any cricketer that's retiring from the international stage has to face when he comes to the IPL is that edge. And I think he would have learned from that. So he would have gone away. He has gone away and he would put a lot of work in. He's already talking about getting into Mumbai earlier than everybody else and putting the work in. But he's besides the fact that he brings the runs to the table, it's also his leadership and the calming effect. One of the privileges of last year, as tough as a season as it was for CSK, particularly because every year we've made the knockout phases, was to listen to him talk to that team in the toughest moments, and the calmness and the level-headedness and the the logic with which he applies his mind to it. And through that, you see why he's the cricketer that he is. And I think that's one of the great benefits of playing around him. And he'll bring that to the team again. It really was a privilege to listen to him and see him be the leader that he needed to be when the team was under pressure. It's been a privilege to work alongside him and near him in any shape, form, not only as a cricketing perspective, just from a life experience perspective as well.
And finally, Eric, just before we let you go, it's a couple of months before the IPL still. We're premature getting into it because of the auction. But we still have a lot of international cricket to play. And I expect that you have been keeping a close eye on the England-India series as we commentate here from TalkSport. What have you made of it so far?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a wonderful series as well, so far as it's unfolded. I think the wicket we got in the second test was what I would have expected. But I think lessons have been learned. So I think more of the same going forward. But I'm impressed with both teams. I enjoy watching both teams play, but I've really been impressed with the resilience of the Indian side in the last two series. This one coming back from the defeat, and then, you know, what were they all out against Australia in that innings to come back and win the next one the way they did. It talks a lot about the resilience of the team and who they are, and to see young cricketers coming through, I've enjoyed it. I worked with the Indian side for 3 years with Gary and then Duncan Fletcher, so I do have a certain affinity to them and to the individuals, but I both teams are really exciting to watch, and I think it's going to be great watching the series unfold.
Fantastic. Thank you very much indeed for your time, and enjoy the golf course before the IPL.
Thanks, Steve. Nice chatting.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 as part of the Following On podcast. Still to come, we'll discuss why the likes of Alex Hales and Adil Rashid didn't pick up the contract. But next up, we'll be joined by the Rajasthan Royals Director of Cricket, Kumar Sangakkara.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Third one inside the power play, and he's in. He's bowled, and he's hit for six over long on. What a shot from Josh Butler.
Stokes in again. Steaming.
Small to the edge. And it's been taken. Stokes has done it again. Just when England needed a hero, they found one. Short top edge hook shot down towards fine leg. Should be out and is. Sam Curran takes a very good catch. And Archer has his fifth wicket. You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 as part of the Following On podcast and our review of the 2021 IPL auction. If you missed any of the show or wish to catch up, you can download the podcast from the Following On feed, available now on the free TalkSport app. But it was a historic auction for Chris Morris, with the all-rounder becoming the most expensive overseas signing in IPL history, returning to the Rajasthan Royals for around £1.6 million. Joining us now for more on this is the newly appointed Rajasthan Royals Director of Cricket, the former Sri Lankan keeper batsman, the great Kumar Sangakkara. Kumar, many thanks for joining us. Can I just ask you, first of all, what surprised you, if anything, about the auction?
Well, I think that a lot of the times you were stretched with your purse to get the players that you wanted. And some of the players that you may not have thought would go for very high prices, like the fast bowlers and the all-rounders, did. And that some of the other, the usual suspects in terms of getting high option prices or a team to really buy them didn't get a lot of attention. So this kind of happens in terms of a small auction where sides have, you know, a few gaps they want to fill, and they have a specific target in mind. So it is surprising and at times, but it happens quite often in these mini auctions.
The fast bowlers, obviously, there's Chris Morris. You were talking about specific targets. He was clearly yours. Morris, but also Kyle Jameson and Jai Richardson, all really expensive purchases. So it seems that the premium in this mini auction was pretty much all on fast bowlers.
Absolutely. You know, that was a very crucial role for sides to fill. I mean, most of the sides came into this with their cores intact. I mean, you look at Mumbai, they came with a 15 crore purse, one of the smallest in the auction, because they had their side already arranged and they wanted one or two players that they were going to buy. So it was a lot easier. I thought with Adam Milne, they got an extremely good buy. For us, we had specific roles in mind, in Morris for sure, and then hopefully another out and out quick. But with the way the auction prices went for Morris, we were hard pressed to really stay in competition for a few of the others. But we managed to pick up Mustafizur for a bargain. So he's also quite experienced in the IPL, especially with Sunrisers Hyderabad. So all in all, I think we're pretty happy with the way it went, and we have different combinations now that we can play.
Kumar, can you explain one thing to me and to everyone else listening? What is it with franchises releasing players and then trying to buy them straight back again? How does that work?
Well, if you have initially bought a player that has sat on the bench for a long period of time or have not specifically delivered what you want, and you get a window in which you have your retention and release picks, so you can let those players go. And then if no one else buys them, you have the opportunity to actually buy the players back at a lesser price. So it eases the strain on your purse, but at the same time gives you enough flexibility to spend on certain other players that you would think are of more value in terms of team roles. Buying players back also extend towards loyalty of having that continuity in the side in terms of your personnel.
Okay, got it. From an English point of view, were you surprised? I mean, there's so many excellent players who went unsold, and I'm just picking two here: Alex Hales and Jason Roy. As I say, that you know, there are dozens who might have been hoping, if not expecting, to be picked up in the auction. Were you surprised at those two, or anybody else?
It just depends again. You know, the openings that franchises have, if they have their opening slots covered, then, you know, they're not going to be looking for an opener. They might be looking for a batsman who can bat up or down the order and be adaptable. And that could be more attractive. Or they'll have, you know, the fast bowlers contingent this year and the all-rounders. They were of high value for all franchises. But come a larger auction, which there is one next year, you will see a different trend and slightly more a balanced out kind of buying at the auction, where franchises then have to fill in about, you know, 15, 16, 17 places instead of just one or two.
I expect that given the reputation of some players who went unsold, there would be bruised egos. You know, there's a danger that some really good players can take it personally if they don't get a contract.
Well, it can happen. It happens either way, really. You can go unsold, or you can be bought for an extremely higher price or a mid-range price, not quite what you expected, or not quite what you expect in comparison to what you've been paid as a player. So there are different dynamics that really work. But I think players have come to understand that the auction, the supply-demand dynamics, the prices are determined by that and that alone. And of course, they go by stats and various other metrics that they have to measure the value of players in terms of their team makeup. And when certain sides want a certain player, they're willing to pay a premium, especially in a situation like this, what we saw yesterday with a mini auction.
Mumbai Indians have pretty much dominated the competition, the tournament, from its inception. They're the multiple champions. Your great mate, Mahela Jayawardene's head coach there. Does that give you an insight into what he's doing right? And what do you have to do to you and the other teams to challenge the Mumbai?
Well, I think Mumbai has a great advantage in that they've built a core unit over the years that's allowed them to dominate the IPL. If you take their local Indian players, they're of the highest quality. A lot of them have played international cricket at some point or the other. They're seasoned. They've held on to them. And then the overseas players are really senior, seasoned, experienced internationals. So that makes a huge, huge difference in terms of even coming to an auction like yesterday with a very small purse. They had only one or two targets that they wanted. They got Adam Milne at an extremely good price. So even if they hadn't bought any player yesterday, it would have been fine for them. They had the structure to survive. Chennai over the years has done the same thing. They built a core side that plays really, really well, especially in India. MS Dhoni's got a very set strategy along with Stephen Fleming that has made them extremely successful. So I think for Rajasthan also, especially through this season and beyond it, build that core set of players and have a longer term view in terms of loyalty, retention and planning will be very key to becoming a powerhouse, a year or two down the line.
Kumar, the IPL's pretty much the biggest thing in world cricket. I mean, the international calendars are built around the IPL window. It's set to be expanded from 8 teams to 10 teams from next year. Do you think everybody around the world has accepted that bilateral series and everything else has to be planned around the IPL? Is the IPL the biggest thing in world cricket now?
Yes, I think it's two parts to that in terms of an answer. One is we have international cricket and players value international cricket and spectators do that. There is huge loyalty and a fan base for international cricket. At the same time, the IPL has grown to become what it is today on the back of these players coming and contributing their skills. And it's become a spectacle that has, entertainment, it has excitement, amazing quality cricket. It has that Bollywood connection. It has all the ingredients that make for very, very interesting viewing. And we've seen that time and time again, the viewership increasing, the TV rights increasing, and thereby increasing the benefit for players and, of course, the fans in that sense. So there is no other franchise tournament that can eclipse the IPL, at least for the moment and not perhaps in the near future as well. But there is a clear demarcation between, the love for international cricket and the IPL. And I think both can coexist and they're starting to find a more workable balance in that sense. So without a doubt, in terms of franchise cricket, without a doubt, it's the biggest thing, yes.
And no concerns about how big it is and it getting bigger?
Well, again, that's really determined by what the fans want, what they desire in terms of consumption and entertainment and cricket-wise, and that will dictate how big the IPL really grows.
Brilliant. Thank you very much indeed. And very, very best of luck as Director of Cricket at the Rajasthan Royals.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 as part of the Following On podcast. In the final part of the show, myself and Steve Harmison will look at those who went unsold and ask what more can Alex Hales do to get back into the England side.
Now he goes over mid-wicket. That's a super swing of the bat. Six to Hales.
Hales is tapping away and this time he's getting delivery. That's driven in the air. That's gone out to long off, over long off. That's into the crowd for six.
Roy goes down the ground for six. And that one is slapped away dismissively by Roy. Over extra cover for six.
Here is Rashid.
Bowled! No, he's got it. Quinton de Kock has bowled. Adil Rashid is straight through.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 as part of the Following On podcast. We've already looked at the big deals from the 2021 IPL auction, but in the final part, we're going to have a look at those players who went unsold. Right, onto the list of unsold players then. We've already mentioned Alex Hales and Jason Roy, two quality cricketers who didn't get a gig. Aaron Finch was disappointed. The Australian white ball captain was disappointing for RCB last year, so he was released and hasn't been picked up by anybody else. There's everywhere you look, there's players with serious ability. Corey Anderson, we've mentioned already, Mitchell McClenahan. Isura Udena, to me, is seriously, seriously talented. The former South African all-rounder, Wayne Parnell. Lots of Aussies were trying their luck. They seem to be in flavour at the moment with the IPL Harmy. And I guess, you know, you don't give up, do you? You just put your name in the hat next year and hope for the best then.
Yeah, fingers crossed, your name comes out. And I think this was the one where we heard Eric Simons mention people looking for specifics. and the likes of Roy, Hales, Labuschagne, top order players, you thought Finch, Lewis, you'd think they'd get picked up, but that's not the case. So whether the Indian franchises think we've got enough in reserve for that and we want a quick bowler or an all-rounder, which they've all gone for, I still think the biggest one is Rashid. I just don't understand from an outside looking at how Adil Rashid hasn't getting picked up. We've mentioned the Mitch McClenahan with Marco Jansen. Possibly that could come down to finances. They needed, you know, a big push for Coulter Nile and for Milne, and thought, well, I haven't got enough money and got a fullback. So, look, there are some big names that haven't been selected, but you're right. I think it is a case of, you know, put your name in, buy another ticket for next year, and fingers crossed. And when I look down the England unit, what I think potentially could be England's squad for the World T20 in October, I'm looking at possibly 1, 2, 3, 4 haven't been picked up in this IPL, which for me, that stands England in good stead for not only experience over in India, but also, you know, the level of 2020 cricket these guys are going to be playing.
What I've learnt in recent years, and actually a lot of it from talking to the likes of Gary Kirsten and Eric Simons, is the level of planning and strategizing that goes into the creation of a squad. And when you come to auction time, how really, really specific are the requirements. We need a left armer who bowls skiddy and we need a right hand batsman a right hand batsman who can bat, who normally bats 4, who has a strike rate of over 140 in domestic cricket in this number. I mean, really, it's Moneyball.
Yeah.
Moneyball has come to cricket, and it's a reputation counts almost for nothing, really. And we might say, but I mean, he's so exciting, and he's done this and that in the Big Bash, and he's, you know, and we get sort of as observers and supporters, I guess, you know, we get rather caught up in the emotion of the moment. There's very, very little of that in the auction. As I say, it's money ball, and it's, you know, it's career strike rates, it's numbers, it's dispassionate.
It is, and when you're listening to, we've listened to two people who have been heavily involved in all of the IPLs, in Sangakkara and Eric Simons from off the field stuff. You know, they do talk about, you know, having partnerships and having the right combinations, and just mentioned there about if you look at the Warner Bairstow partnership, both Crash Bang Wallop, you know, wanting to score at a strike rate of about 170, 180. But then you look at last year, probably the best partnership that was out there from an opening batting point of view in the first 6 games. We're at Kings 11, and they were nearly bottom of the log, and that was Agarwal and KL Rahul. Two players, when you look at them and you think, when they've got a white shirt in their hand, they're very, very correct, playing the V, not somebody who scores big sixes. But actually, when you break the game down in that first 6 overs, when a power play is on, you've just got to get the ball over the 30-yard circle, not over the fence, which is 50, 60 yards away. So actually, there is room for these technical players. And the names I've mentioned, the Heels and the Roys, they are people who are very, very explosive, very hit or miss when it comes to getting out early or going on and scoring the big runs very, very quickly. So, you know, the terminology of more ways to skin a cat that Eric Simons used is very, very much evident in the way these franchises plan. So what we see from outside, we think, well, I can't believe these haven't been picked up. But actually, like you say, the planning is so meticulous where these players probably just don't fit the mold of what we are trying to achieve as a franchise.
What's fascinating as well is how coaching is returning more to basics. You know, we think of batsmen, you know, scoring sort of 16, 18, 20 runs and over, and we think that everything's moving in that direction, and that what we need, players need, is more variation, more trick shots, more trick deliveries, more, you know, back of the hand, slower ball, bounces, whatever you name it. You know, the feeling is that you need to innovate. Well, actually, Eric's view over the last couple of years is go back to basics, because we've got bowlers now. You know, he's presented with youngsters who have got all these trick deliveries, and that, you know, that all they want to do is be able, as a spinner, is bowl a carom ball and or as a bowl a knuckle ball, and they want to learn tricks. And what Eric's discovered is that none of them can bowl can hit the top of off. You know, he says, I want you to bowl six balls that hit the top of off stump. Because, you know, the tricks and the variety, and similar batsmen, you know, as you said, it's not about reverse slog sweeping and playing all the trick shots and ramping over the keeper's head. That all comes later. First of all, show me that you can off drive and on drive.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to when you talk about good players, you talk about the greats, go back to during my time, you look at somebody like Brian Lara. What you find, anybody that played against Brian Lara, they'd say, well, we need 13 fielders. We need 12, 13 fielders, because there are gaps on this field that we can't plug, but Brian will hit it through. Because what he'll do is he'll get himself in a position to get the ball, to get him a field where he wants to have it, and then he will go through the gears that way. And what I mean by that is he'll play proper cricket shots. He'll play proper cricket shots to open areas up, and when captains feel as though, well, we've got to plug this area and we've got to plug extra cover and leave mid-wicket open, then all of a sudden you see the innovation of a mind working of a great, and just walk across the stumps and play the ball through mid-wicket, and a captain scratching his head. And then all of a sudden he's thinking, well, I need a mid-wicket, so I'll change from somewhere else. Then you're the innovative cricketers come into it, and they can play all these shots. But there's one thing having the tools, but it's the other thing putting them in the right order. And I think that's what potentially is the problem with some of the young cricketers, and that's why we are seeing a lot more experienced players playing in this IPL now, because they know their game, they understand the situation, they get the pressure, they understand what is needed at the right time, and the ducks are in order. And I think that's what I think some of the young Indian players are learning off the greats of the game. And I think that's why you see the transformation of this Indian cricket team at red ball and at white ball, because they're making better decisions. They're understanding the pressure. They've got the skill set, but they're doing it in the right order, and they're not sort of chickens, chickens with no head on. They're just doing things properly. And I think that's what you see in the transformation of India. And I think that's what's happening in the IPL. And that comes down to planning. That comes down to thinking about every ball means something. 120 balls and a lot of cricket balls. And I think because of that, I think that's why you're seeing that the level of performance in the IPL is just getting it's just going through the roof. And I think that's why it's so important that our best England players are playing in it.
I don't know what I was thinking when I asked Kumar Sangakkara whether there was a danger that the IPL is becoming too powerful and too dominant, and that it was expanding to 10 teams, whether that was a danger. It wasn't very tactful of me. I mean, he's just been appointed director of cricket at the Rajasthan Royals. I should have been asking you. The global calendar is now built around the IPL, and And even Australia and England are building their schedules around the IPL so that their best players are going to go and play in the IPL and there isn't a conflict of interest. I'm very concerned for the small seven amongst the test playing nations. I think they're really struggling anyway to arrange bilateral series against each other to get quality content. The IPL is already massively, massively powerful, and it shapes the careers of players from all around the world. Just because even if they're not playing in it, it denies them opportunities to play quality cricket. And an expansion to 10 teams, I have serious concerns about. I don't think anything can be done about it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there has to be a ceiling level. But when you look at English cricket, there's 18 counties. There's going to be nine 100 ball teams, franchises, or whatever you want to call them. So we're going to have more than what India is. You know, we've got a population of 70 million. They've got a population of 1.3 billion. So when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, do we need more IPL teams? Will it make the spectacle better? Probably, yes. Will it cut more time into the schedule? If it does, then I think there has to be especially from like you say, the smaller seven, there have to be question marks asked to say, well, if that's the case, then you're gonna have to drip feed this pot of money further down, and you're gonna have to make sure that we do not get left behind. Because if we get left behind, cricket gets left behind. Because what I find, and I'm all for the IPL, and you'll never hear me say we shouldn't be playing in it, but what I find is, if you are taking away, like you say, the small seven, then the avenues into the IPL is getting shorter, and the players aren't getting the cricket, like you've said, and they're not going to be as good. They're not going to get picked up in an IPL, and then the devalue in the product. So for me, I think there's a balance between making sure there's enough cricket around the world at a high standard to make sure these players are at the best optimum possible skill sets, to make sure that they can perform in the IPL, but also make sure cricket levels are very, very high. And I think that's the balancing act, and strong leadership from ICC and from other boards to make sure that the IPL doesn't just run away and be its own entity. Because if it does, then I think there will be serious ramifications for the game.
Ultimately, I think the leadership needs to come from the BCCI, and they need to care about the game globally, don't they?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, they can't just have the IPL. They need... Anyway, great stuff. You've been listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 as part of the Following On podcast and our review of the 2021 IPL auction. If you missed any of the show or wish to catch up, you can download the podcast from the Following On feed, available now on the free TalkSport app. Thank you for listening.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.